I am here with the legendary Gary Player, winner of 9 major titles, 9 senior major titles, 165 tournaments around the world on 6 continents, over 7 decades, and the only non-American to complete a career Grand Slam. Gary, it is a pleasure to talk with you.
Nice to be talking to you, Anne. I look forward to this.
And thank you so much for inviting us in your daughter's home. Amanda's so nice to have us here.
Well, we're very lucky. I mean, my heart goes out to those people that have had not very enjoyable places to stay during this lockdown, and people that have lost family and have people that have been affected by this. But we've been very fortunate because we have this forest right adjoining her property. She has a gymnasium, and my next door neighbor has one of these simulators that you could hit balls into. But now that the golf courses are open, which I think is the right thing to do because you're out in the fresh air, I have a very different view about things like this. I believe that people that are my age, 84, if you're old and you're sickly, stay at home. I believe if you have no immune system or you're weak, stay at home. But I think the rest of us have got to get out and work. Otherwise, what's going to happen to the economy? The greatest country in the world, the United States of America, 26 million people plus minus without work. I was poor. I know what it's like to come home and not have food on the table and not to have a car and not to have air conditioning and not to have sufficient blankets. I've experienced all that as a kid. I suffered dreadfully when I was a kid. My mother died when I was 9. My brother went to war to fight with the Americans for freedom, which we'll discuss later. And my brother-in-law got killed, my future brother-in-law got killed in the war from South Africa at 17. And so I know what it is to struggle. And so, but you've got to get out and start working. I mean, how many people are dying of car accidents, flu, cancer, diabetes, et cetera, every day?
Right. People are afraid to go to the hospital.
They've had pandemics. They've had pandemics throughout time. The one with smallpox and the different flus of the world, one of them affected 50 million people died. 500 million contained it, or had it happen to them. So this is a time we live in. But you can't bring the world to a stop. And that's what I believe in. Now, obviously, with the media as it is today, you'll have people criticize you. You know, it's like if you're president of the United States, this phenomenal country, the day you win, 49% of people don't like you from tomorrow onwards. It's a very tough, we live in a very tough time now with this media because people are very vociferous and can be very mean. They'll never say, well, that's his opinion. And we're supposed to be living in a time of freedom when you can have your say and have your opinion, but that's not so. If you took a world map and looked at the places where freedom does not exist, it's increasing. Even in America, freedom is dying. If you look at somebody, if they say something that is not correct in the public, if it's politically correct, it's all right. But a man might have his opinion. He loses his job. Where's that freedom we're talking about? I'll give you an example with the golf. Vijay Singh was against Annika Sorenstam playing at Fort Worth in a men's tournament. I was in favor of it. The press were in favor of it. The members were in favor of it, and the galleries were in favor. So to me, that's the important thing. Not me as a professional, what my opinion is. But Vijay Singh had his opinion. He didn't think it was correct. And that's fine. I respect that. He went through living hell for a year because of that. Where's the freedom we boast
about? What about freedom of speech? Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
But does freedom of speech exist? If you go to a university today and you're a conservative and you want to give your opinion, they shout you down. They don't give you a chance to talk. This is students that are supposed to be learning and speaking out and being vociferous about freedom. They've got to practice it themselves.
What about all the social and racial unrest in our country going on right
so
now?
Sad.
I mean, you have the George Floyd murder, you have peaceful protests, you have violent protests, you have the looting, you have the rioting. It's just so disturbing.
You know, for me, it's very sad because this is such a great country and I've seen all kinds of things happen. I remember when I came to America in 1957, I was playing in Los Angeles and Charlie Sifford was not allowed to play in the tournament. And I really was shocked because we had apartheid in South Africa. I didn't know you had it in America when I came here, a young man. And anyway, I became good friends with him. I tried to get the PGA to help. I went to his golf club in Cleveland, Ohio, and played, and he appreciated that. And when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, now here's a black man asking a white South African who was a practicing apartheid at that time to induct him into the Hall of Fame. What an honor. You know how that made me feel? That made me feel that God is in my heart and that I cared about people. And then Lee Elder, I wanted him to come to South Africa, and I went to my prime minister at that time and I said, I'd like to invite a black golfer. Isn't it sad I had to get permission in that apartheid era? And I played golf with that prime minister, so I knew him well, so I could go and see him face to face. And I said, I'd like to bring a black golfer, Lee Elder, to America. He was under great strain here not to go. And I was called a traitor in South Africa because I invited a black golfer to play in our PGA, one of our most important tournaments. The prime minister said, go ahead, which I'm so thankful for. And Lee Elder came out and did an impeccably good job. And we did other venues. And I admire that so much. So I've had so many experiences with sponsoring black tournaments in South Africa. Caddy tournament, the leader caddied for me in Britain. I had South African black caddies in apartheid. I took them to England, sponsored them to America. I was president of our PGA. I resigned because they wouldn't put two black guys on the committee. So I've done a lot of things like that. And unfortunately, it's not recognized in my country. And that's why I really appreciated what Donald Trump giving me this Medal of Freedom, because he's done his homework. He just didn't give me that award, of which something that I will be eternally grateful for. I go on my hands and knees every day and say, United States of America to be given the Medal of Freedom, which I know what I've tried to have in my heart, means so much to me, more than all the trophies I won through my golfing prowess.
Congratulations, by the way. You and Annika Sorenstam?
Yes, who's a dear lady and has been fantastic. I think she's definitely the best lady golfer that ever lived. I mean, she is a machine. Every time I play with her, she's unbelievable. And I know she has goodness in her heart. And so I'm looking forward to receiving this medal.
That's quite an honor. Getting back to what you were saying about the racial unrest, I know you contributed to kind of breaking apartheid in sport in South Africa with sponsoring, you know, black mm-hmm. players and bringing all these players mm-hmm. to South Africa and doing what you were doing. But I know it was tough for you for a long time in your early days because you were being harassed on golf courses over here.
Big time. They wanted to kill me every day for 2 years. In fact, I lost the PGA to Raymond Floyd in Dayton, Ohio. They threw telephone books in my back, on the top of my backswing. They threw ice in my eyes. They charged me out of the greens. I was playing with Nicklaus. They came running out of this bank, skidded on the greens and tore up the greens. They threw balls between my legs when I was getting ready to putt. They screamed on my backswing. This was being done against apartheid in South Africa. So who could they get? Who was the most prominent person in South Africa at that time? It was Mandela was the most prominent, but he was in jail. But I was out, and so they could get to South Africa by demonstrating against me and trying to hurt me that way. So, yes, we have those things, but adversity is the greatest gift bestowed upon anybody. I did not hate Americans because of that. I lost the PGA by one shot. Think about that. With all that going, I lost by one shot.
So you could have had 10 major
no,
titles.
But there are no ifs and ands. But I know I feel in my heart I won 10 majors. Yeah. I have no bitterness about that. I accept that as a challenge. That's part of a challenge in life. And I don't say it's 10. And a lot of people say, oh, it's 90% what happens to me. I'm so unlucky. No, I say it's 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. So we've got to be tough. Too many people go into states of depression because they have adversity. Nobody can escape adversity. Nobody in the world. Sometime or other before you die, and if you don't get it now, you'll get it in the next world. But you will have adversity.
What was it like in the early days with Charlie Sifford and Lee Elder on tour? What are your memories of that?
Well, they very soon after that, they started playing the tour, and they did a great job going around the country. And I've always said that was fantastic. And I've always said that the sport golf does more for America than any other sport, because there's a golf tournament every week of the year other than Christmas and New Year and special holidays. So you have American players playing around the world every week of the year. And there are 1 billion people that see these tournaments. So these are wonderful ambassadors you have, the Arnold Palmers and the Jack Nicklauses, the Lee Trevinos and the Tom Watsons and Ben Hogans and Sam Sneeds and Bobby Jones. I can go through a host of lists. Raymond Floyd was a phenomenal competitor. I can go through all these guys. They've done a wonderful job for this country and have donated. You know that golf has donated over $3 billion to charity, more than any other two sports put together. So these golfers are doing a wonderful job. But just to come back to, I didn't quite answer your question, for me to see a man suffocated and killed like that, it makes my heart bleed to see that. And those five people, if there were four or five, have got to be punished. It's not for me to decide what the punishment is. And I love to see people demonstrate about things. This is the freedom. But what breaks my heart when I see a man standing in front of his store, trying to protect it, and a man throws a rock against his head. This man will probably, in all probability, be affected for the rest of his life, trying to protect his property, and people running out of the stores with clothes and burning the stores and putting the police vans on fire and all the things that they're doing. I mean, what does that do for your cause? That doesn't do much for your cause. You've had a lot of wonderful people fight for, black people fight for their cause. And you think of Martin Luther King, he would not like that.
Right.
And Mandela didn't like that, because I spent a lot of time with Mandela, President Mandela, who I loved and adored and put him in my five most important people I've ever met and been with. And he had love in his heart. He had what we call in South Africa, Ubuntu, bring people together. And he had no revenge, and he had no hatred. He believed in communication. And the people, you see, the problem with America, and there's nobody that loves this country more than I do. Not any American.
I know, I appreciate that in you. You're so patriotic. You love the USA.
But I don't think Americans realize, generally speaking, how lucky they are to live in this country.
Right.
When you go to the places I've been and you see the socialism that's been practiced and communism, that's their systems, and that's fine for them. I respect their opinion, but not for me. You see, Winston Churchill, my great hero of all time, said, socialism, there are only two places in the world it works, where it's taking place. One is in heaven, where they don't need it, and the other is in hell, where they practice it every day. Now, you know, I hear politicians talking about, you know, when we win, we will have a socialistic theme in our future country. Well, every country, I'd like to take these students at universities and these people, I'd like to take them to some countries that I've been to, having traveled more miles than any human being ever. I'd like to take them there and let them see what it's like. And there's no freedom. Just to let them understand it. You see, you cherish freedom like I do when you were deprived of it. Now, I lived in South Africa and I had a white man's privilege, so to speak, as compared to the black people. But I still didn't have entire freedom. And so I understand what is to be denied, and I've seen this happen around the world. And I tell you, the young students of this America are very naive. First of all, what perturbs me about them, they're going to be the future. The youth of a nation are the trustees of posterity. Now, all these students at these universities in America, right across the board, 90% generally are drinking, smoking, or on weed or something. Now, these are the future leaders. Now, that should be stopped. But it's not. I have a lot of grandchildren that are at universities, so I'm not sucking this out of the air. They come home and tell me what's happening.
Right. 22 grandchildren?
22 grandchildren.
Unbelievable.
15 American grandchildren and 7 South African. And I just shudder when I hear that, because I appreciate having traveled the world, and these students have no idea about socialism and apartheid. They have no idea. They've read about it, but they've never experienced it. And I don't know how you get this message through to these people of America. Yes, they're people that are struggling badly, and my heart bleeds for them. But they don't struggle like they do in a lot of other countries where they live in absolute hell.
Yes, they have no context.
No context.
The education process,
yeah.
You've traveled all over, you've seen it.
Yeah.
You've lived 84 years young, Gary.
Yes.
You've seen a lot.
I've seen so much, and I've been around all kinds of people. I've dined and played golf and been in the White House for your wonderful president. I love every one of your presidents. Everyone. They might not agree with their policies, but I've loved everyone.
You respect the time
I have respect. I have respect. and for the president, because it's the number one position in the world. And I think Americans right now, with their fighting going on amongst themselves, are doing America harm. The rest of the world are looking at it and saying, look at these people. They're fighting for themselves. You know, and also all these things that are going on television now, but people of the rest of the world are watching it, and they're now coming back at America very strong in their articles. And so, yes, I love demonstrations. I love it. And I love people to be active and to do something
peaceful.
And bring justice.
Peaceful demonstrations.
But it must be peaceful. You can't be ruining other people's properties who've worked all their lives to have a store or to have something.